Let's just leave that fetid 49er mask where it is, right? We move on. That's, you know, we've got a week off from that for them. But we move on with the Sacramento Kings, who last night came from behind. It was a dramatic win last night, one they desperately needed. 132-127, as you know, over the Lakers in overtime. Malik Monk saving the day.
Yeah, Malik Monk has been a revelation ever since he came here. And one thing we know about Malik Monk, he's a gamer. You know, he's not going to shy away from the big moment. He embraces that. And when Fox went out, Malik took over. You know, he had big shots, obviously making plays with the pass as well. And he's going to have a huge role with De'Aaron Fox out. Probably, you know, he's going to miss a few games. And so, but that's what this team is built for, right? You know, Monty McNair up the depth. You know, maybe we'll see Kobe Jones, Chris Duarte will get more minutes. And so that was a tremendous win last night. And I'm looking at the box score right here. Six players in double figures. Malik Monk, 22, 7 of 17, 4 of 9 shooting. He was tremendous, had the 3 assists. And he was tremendous, I thought, last night. And without him, you don't win that game. You do not win that game.
Is Kevin Huerter back?
I don't want to say that. You know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, Whitey. You know, when you look at what he did yesterday, he hit the big three. He played great defense, I thought. Dished the rock as well. Rebounded the ball. Had 4 assists, 7 rebounds.
But you're right, because for him, those numbers last year, that would have been a bad night.
That would have been a bad night. He was 4 of 12 shooting. You know, let's call it what it is. He had 12 points, yes. And so I'm hoping that he is back after hitting that last three. That was a big-time three.
It was huge.
And so hopefully that lifts some of the weight off his shoulders, you know? Like, hopefully he woke up today feeling good about his performance yesterday. Got in the gym, got up some shots, and so, you know, the sun is shining brighter for him because you could visibly see that it was weighing on him. And then he finally hit the shot, and he turns around to the crowd and, you know, puts up his arms. He's like, finally, you know? And so I'm hoping that takes the weight off his shoulders going into Wednesday.
Do you agree with this? As far as De'Aaron Fox goes, yes, it could have been a lot worse. You know, you could have had something broken, something torn. So the news could be worse. But still, it's not good that you're going to be without him for, you know, maybe a couple, 3 weeks.
No, it's not good. And when you look at the Kings' schedule, I know it opens up a little bit. I know it gets easier after this Warriors game, 2 against Houston, home against Portland, then home against OKC. But then midway through November, you got a tough road trip that you're going to be on. New Orleans twice in that mix. Minnesota's, Dallas is
big
in that.
Big Western
games. Yeah, big Western Conference games. And ideally, you'd like a De'Aaron Fox healthy for those. But I do see one silver lining, one thing that they can get from this, and that's Davion Mitchell. He's been up and down the last year or so. You know, if he can get into a rhythm while De'Aaron Fox is out, I think that'll help the Kings in the long run. And so on the bright side, Davion gets a chance. Let's see what he can do with it. Hopefully he finds his shot. Hopefully he gets going. And then when De'Aaron comes back, you have a more complete team.
Bench was big last night, 22 from Monk. Sasha had 11. And then Davion and McGee combined for 9. And then let's see, Duarte with 4. So,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of the blueprint for this year.
Yeah, and I said last week, you know, I think one of the Drapes takes, I feel like this bench can be the best bench in the NBA. And it might not be Malik every night. It might not be Sasha. But I'm talking about the depth. One night it might be Chris Duarte with 15 to 17 points. One night it might be Davion. And let's not forget, we still haven't seen Trey Lyles as well.
Right.
And so think about it. Last night against the Lakers, Mike Brown went 10 deep easily in that. Kessler Edwards only played 13 seconds, so I'm not counting him. You throw in a Trey Lyles, now you got 11 deep. You can go pretty easily. And that's why I think this bench can be a real strong point for this Kings team.
You know, something interesting from Friday. I know we don't want to spend a ton of time talking about Friday.
Yeah.
But Allen asked Coach an interesting question after the game about Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes, remember, he had the big opening night. And then Friday, he took 5 shots. And so Allen asked Coach, well, you know, does he need to be more aggressive? What's going on there? Coach Brown said he only got 5 shots because the offense, we weren't moving the ball. He said it wasn't Harrison. He said it. People were just taking the ball and careening to the hoop. He said if Harrison did that too, then it would have been worse. So I thought that was interesting that he said Now, the offense, we just weren't moving the ball because last night, I think they did a much, much better job of that. Yeah, to the point you made earlier, you still want Fox taking most of your shots.
Right.
24, he had a big game, but the shot distribution was much more reflective of an offense that was actually working for them.
Right, and when you talk about the Kings' offense, it's an equal opportunity offense.
That's it,
you know?
Yes.
It's not like we're going to feature Harrison tonight or, you know, if you move the ball, everybody should get enough chances. Mm-hmm. So to Mike Brown's point, they didn't move the ball enough the other night against the Warriors. I'm looking at the numbers. They had 24 assists on 41 made field goals against the Warriors. Last night against the Lakers, however, when you looked at what they were able to do, they had 30 assists on 49 made field goals. So a much, you know, you're talking about a 60% assist rate, and that's where you want to be if you're an NBA team. Right around 60% of your baskets made are coming off of assists.
Yeah, and Keegan had 5, and Herter had 4, and of course Sabonis had 5. I know he fouled out last night. And he scored 12, but he had 15 rebounds. That was a battle for him against Anthony Davis. And I thought, the fouls are unfortunate. But I thought he played a good game overall.
No, those were two of the top 5, top 6 big men in the entire NBA going head-to-head. And I thought he battled out there.
Yeah.
He only took 8 shots.
Right.
Like, you know, and so that goes back to what we were talking about, equal opportunity. But he had his hands full with Anthony Davis, and I thought he did a tremendous job. Sure, Anthony Davis had 30 points and 16 rebounds, but Anthony Davis is a load, and for Domas to have 15 rebounds, and then you look at it offensively, the Lakers only had 8 offensive rebounds, and so that's going to be key. That's one thing that obviously they didn't do in that Warriors series. They didn't do it, I think, well Friday night. So Wednesday, I want to see if they can continue to do a good job on that offensive rebounding.
Yeah, that's one of the things Coach pointed out last night after the game. The Kings had 20 second chance points. Yeah. He said that was big. As far as Domas goes, as you said, he only took 8 shots. I thought there were a number of times where he got the ball 18, 20 feet from the basket where the Lakers gave him the shot, but he didn't want it,
right.
But he didn't freeze. The offense right. didn't stall out.
Right.
He decided, all right, I'm not going to take that, but it was a dribble handoff where he kept it moving so the offense was still functioning even though he didn't want to take that jump shot.
And that's the thing with Domantas Sabonis, and we saw it in the Warriors series.
Yeah.
He was like,
what do I
he was thinking. He was trying to process it. You know, it was like you could see the hamster on the wheel for him. And so, you know, what we saw last night and Friday night and so far this season is he may not take the shot, but he's decisive in whatever move he's going to make.
Yes.
You know, with the dribble handoff or passing it or whatever it may be. Don't bring the offense down to a screeching halt while you try to figure out what to do with the basketball.
And I didn't see this when they made the trade, to be honest. I love Halliburton, so I didn't see this when they made the trade, but I think he's just about the perfect center for this team and the system that they run.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, though, as we talk about that, because so many people, you know, want to trade Domas, these analytics nerds out there and everything like that, but for what they do, I think he's a perfect fit, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, if you had Joel Embiid, of course, but we're talking about, you know, non-Embiid, non-Jokic, no Anthony Davis, no Giannis. We need a passing big man.
Mm-hmm.
And that frees up De'Aaron Fox a little more. How many easy buckets does De'Aaron Fox get thanks to Domantas Sabonis? I think this offense, to your point, it flows so much freer when you have a passing big man like Domas.
Yeah, and not just passing, which he's great at, but the ability to get the rebound and bring it into the front
court.
Yeah,
to rip
and
run.
He knows his limitations.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But he also knows that that puts pressure on the defense.
And what's beautiful about that, Whitey, and you tell me if you agree, when he does get the rebound and push, he's not out of control.
Exactly.
It's not like he's going, rumbling, stumbling down. And,
he's not trying to dribble through 3 guys.
Right, right, exactly. He knows, like you said,
like
his limitations.
Newsom in China. Did
right.
you see
did
that?
You see that?
The two Chinese kids, they run the trap, and Newsom doesn't have his head up, doesn't see it, and he runs right over the poor kid.
He just plows over the kids, and it spills out on the floor of
himself. He's trying to get the kid up, and the kid's like, get off of me. That's an offensive foul. We're going the other
way. I did see that. I was like, is this real?
Is this really?
And he tried to like dribble on his back or something. Right. Like, pass the ball.
Right. Give the rock
Governor.
Up. Give it to a guard and get in the post. Right. Like, we don't have to do that with our guys. So DeMontis Sabonis, though, is I did see that video. That was hilarious. That was great.
Yeah, that's a good. They never saw it coming. Never saw the trap coming. That was a good coaching against the Governor. So onward and upward for the Kings. It just, and I know I've said this about a million times, it kills me that they get the Warriors again without De'Aaron Fox. No De'Aaron Fox for the Warrior game.
You know, De'Aaron Fox and Draymond is back for Golden State. And so, you know, this game, I don't know. I'm going to go into it Wednesday. I'm on the call for this game on Wednesday. It loses a little bit of its luster now, you know, because.
By the way, Steph gave your boy Dylan Brooks a little something.
Oh, did you see that? Oh, yeah. Steph was playing around with him. That's that. I'll see Dylan. I'm going to give Dylan a shout-out on this weekend when I get to see him. Why do you take so much glee in that, though? Why?
I just think it's funny. Apparently, Steph said something like, I remember what you said. I've got something for you. And I don't even know what he's talking about. Could have been a number of things. But the whole Home Alone.
Right. Yeah, Steph is the guy you can't talk to. Like, you can't. Because he's always going to win. Like, he's just that good.
He is in defense. Like that,
right. I don't, maybe in his old age now. No, he's going back at his critics. And Dylan Brooks, why are you poking the bear?
You know? Because you like Dylan Brooks.
I know. I like it. But if you do that, you got to back it up, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to talk trash, you're going to get all up in Steph Curry's face and everything. Like, you got to shut him down. Instead, you look like a fool. And that's what happened.
All right. We're taking one more time out with you till 4:30 today. But when we come right back, still got some pizza left in the box. We'll tell you how the Kings made it a LeBron-iversary. We're celebrating Drive Guys on Sacktown Sport. Light the beam. What'd you think of Kevin Herter as a choice last night to light the beam?
I love it. Because this is an organization and we're all in this together. The whole world knows Kevin Herter's been struggling. He hits the big shot. And so, like I said earlier, the guy can go to sleep last night with a smile on his face. Feels like he's contributing. You know, for the first time since the regular season of last year, he can say, you know what? I helped this team win. I showed up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he lights the beam last night, gets the defensive player of the game chain. It wasn't about last night. This Kings team needs Kevin Herter going forward. And so, from an organizational standpoint, I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was really interesting Friday when we talked to Tim Roy. And we were kind of joking about, what did you guys do to Kevin Herter?
Yeah.
And he joked, but even he acknowledges, I don't know. But you could see, the point is, you could see something seemed to happen to him in that series. And he's still trying to pull out of that.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you watch Kevin Herter play, you know, he had a one play where he went to the basket, could have had a dunk, missed the layup, but got fouled. It just looked like he's just a little off a little bit. And when you're in that building, every single fan in there, 18,000 plus yesterday, is cheering, like wanting this guy to break out of this slump.
Yeah,
I forgot about the Laker fans. Wow. But they all wanted so badly for Kevin Herter. And when he hit that shot, man, it was just like, we can all rejoice. And so now it needs to carry over. That's the thing about the NBA, right?
Yeah.
It's short-lived.
So, you know, before the season started, I was buying into all the talk about how Davion was working on his shot. And I've noticed in the past that that guy has a nice-looking shot that should be more effective. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do here if, as you suggest, and it makes sense, Davion is the guy who ends up starting here while De'Aaron Fox is recuperating, however long that takes.
Yeah, and, you know, along the lines of Kevin Herter, with Davion, I want it so badly for him, because this dude is putting in the work. You know, he traveled through, he is in Costa Rica, took the coach with him to Costa Rica to put in work. In Spain, in Madrid, working out. He's still a guy that's a gym rat. And so I want to see it for him. Like I mentioned earlier, he's been working with Steph Curry's shooting coach, Brandon Payne. He said they tweaked some things. We saw earlier in the preseason that 4-3 game, 4-3-pointer game. And so when a guy puts in the work, and you know they're doing all that they can, like Davion is, you want to see the results for him. And so I'm excited to see what he brings to this team as a starter.
Hit a big three last night. Only took two, but made one.
And that corner three was huge. And you mentioned that possession, a beautiful possession by the Kings. And so, you know, they need Davion's offense. I know he's a defensive stud. But there was a reason why Mike Brown went away from him in the playoffs last year, and it wasn't because of his defense. He couldn't hit any shots also. And so it's like, especially when you look at this Kings team, the offense was the problem last year against the Warriors in the playoffs. And if Davion's not knocking down that three, that shrinks the floor. You know, Fox doesn't have as much room. Sabonis doesn't have as much room. So he needs to be a threat out there. Guys have to respect him out there. And so that's why I think tomorrow's game or Wednesday's game is so important for him. This little stretch, this could unlock Davion Mitchell, I think.
Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't even mention this, but I know that I'm not the only Kings fan
who
felt this way. And I only take it so far. But, you know, JaVale McGee, he's done some really nice things. It was interesting today we had Kendrick Perkins on.
Yeah,
and he
Perk.
Said he loved the acquisition of JaVale McGee. By the way, if you didn't get a chance to hear that, I'd suggest you check it out, SacktownSports.com. Kyle got Kendrick Perkins to join us today, and he's a big Kings backer. It's a really interesting, fascinating conversation. My point is, there was a play last night where, you know, JaVale McGee did have that dunk to close the quarter, which was huge. Had a play late when possessions were so important where he tried to swat it out to a teammate, and LeBron ended up, it was basically an outlet. It reminded me of another play in the past where
you're going to go
player,
there, huh? You're going to go there right
that's
now.
That's as far as I need to go. Batted the ball in a Laker game and it didn't go well. Just for a minute, I flashed on that just for a second. Last night, the ending was much more favorable, for the Kings. But JaVale McGee brings an element. Interesting that end of regulation and Sabonis fouls out, and it wasn't JaVale McGee that won the game. It was Sasha.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, really interesting. You know, I was texting with a friend about it. He said, "What is Mike Brown doing? Why is he going small like this?" And my only guess was, I think the Lakers were down 3 or 5 or something like that. You switch everything. This way you could switch everything. You could defend the three.
And then Harrison was guarding. Guarding AD.
AD, exactly. You could switch everything. And also, you need your foul shooters out there, too, at the end of the game. And so, but then he did throw in JaVale in overtime.
Yes. Yeah.
And so.
And then the end of overtime, he went offense, defense with Davion and Sasha,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. And so it's all a chess match. And, you know, somebody tweeted it out. I think it was Nate Jones, who's big on Twitter, big NBA guy, really tight with Dame Lillard in that camp. He said, look at Mike Brown coach. Like, Mike Brown was coaching his butt off yesterday, whether it was the substitutions, the JaVale McGee situation, the Keegan Murray, you know, I'm going to pull you out, and then put, like, Mike Brown was into it yesterday. And some of the moves were head scratchers. Like I said, going small, but he got away with it last night.
Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see if against the Warriors, if they run any more traps. They had to trap kind of out of desperation at the end of the game Friday, and they trapped a couple of the Warriors' smaller ball handlers. And they had success with Chris Paul and Steph, two of the greatest ball handlers we've ever seen. They had some success with that late in the game because they do have, you know, they can throw some pretty big traps at you when you get, say, Duarte and Sabonis. So that was that almost helped him turn the game back around in their favor.
Yeah, but I'm afraid of that, Whitey.
It's very risky.
It's very risky, especially Draymond Green is back.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the Warriors want. They want Steph to pull two so they can find Draymond, and then they can play 4-on-3 going the other way. And he's such a crafty playmaker. And then you throw Chris Paul in the mix as well. You know, somebody was saying, why don't we go with the double big lineup? We didn't see it last night. Remember, the Lakers had Christian Wood and Anthony Davis out there.
We touched on it Friday, and I give you credit from the get-go. You said, nope, no thank you. I don't want to see it.
I can't. And so they didn't do it that game. I just can't see it happening. But, you know, against the Warriors, how do you slow them down? The problem with the matchup with the Warriors, now that I think about it, we want to play at a fast pace. Warriors are, like, great at it. You know, like, they're, you know, you get into a shootout with Steph Curry, most of the time you're going to lose that. And Klay Thompson.
With Chris, they play maybe a little slower sometimes.
Right.
Maybe.
Well,
he
that's
came
the
off
difference.
The bench last night for the first time.
He
by the
did.
Way.
Yeah. And but that's the difference. Now you got Chris Paul running the show when Steph Curry goes out. A much more secure ball handler. And so I thought, you know, Friday when you watch that game, the Kings didn't win the non-Steph Curry minutes. Like when Steph Curry went to the bench, the Kings didn't capitalize on that. And I think that's the difference between, you know, what the Warriors did in the past when you had Jordan Poole, is that Steph went out, it became a turnover fest. You can really make some ground up. Now with Chris Paul, you know, in that Warriors game, he had 10 points, 12 assists, 3 steals. He did have 3 turnovers, but they're a much more sure-handed team with Chris Paul out there.
Did you see what your guy Jordan Poole did over the weekend?
No, I didn't. My guy, he must have went like 2 of like 30 or something.
I don't know what his numbers were, but he took his shot from the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And he turned around.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, like started celebrating. It was back to the basket. It didn't go in. He was celebrating the shot.
That's terrible. My son does that. He's like, look,
no,
Dad.
Really?
Why? Not in the game.
Oh, okay.
Not in the game. He's like, look, Dad, Steph Curry, Jordan Poole. And I'm like, dude, make the shot first. You know, it's like I get confidence, bravado and everything. But, Jordan, you're not Steph Curry. Steph Curry can get away with that. You're not that dude. And so Jordan Poole, I tell you what, he's going to put up a lot of points.
A lot of points. I think one of the things we'll be looking for is slow down the Warriors. The only way to do it is you got to make shots.
Yeah.
I know it's very simple, but go back to the preseason game. The Kings were dominating that game until the fourth quarter. They're making shots. You make shots, and then they got to take the ball out of the bottom of the basket, and it slows them down. And you start missing a few late in the game, especially when you're in their place. They get it going, and all of a sudden, wow, we're down 7. Because it's not the way it used to be with them, but they can go from losing to up 10 faster than any team I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And especially historically, their third quarter, that's their quarter. That's where they get you. And that's what they did against us, 39-27. I'm looking at the three-point numbers. They made 14 threes. Kings made 12. But the Kings were 12 of 40, 30%. The Warriors were 43.8%.
Yes.
There's a difference. They shot 55% in that game.
I know.
You're never going to beat the Warriors if you allow them to shoot 55%.
It's a miracle almost that the Kings were as close as they were in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I looked at some of the shooting numbers like, wait, how are they even in this game at all?
Exactly. And kudos to De'Aaron Fox in that game. He put on the show. I'm looking at this fourth quarter box score right now. Kings shot... Jeez, look at this. Kings shot 40% in the fourth. Warriors shot 56%, but Sacramento still outscored them 30-23.
Turnovers, right? The Warriors started throwing the ball all over the place.
For the Warriors.
And the traps.
Yep.
Like I said, they had some success with the traps.
Yeah, that was huge. And so maybe Mike Brown employs that. I don't like that move. Just because it has to be a real hard trap.
It's kind of like blitzing a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to have to.
You don't want to have to, right? Maybe with Davion's possibly starting Wednesday, that'll be an interesting matchup. Davion and Steph Curry. Like I said, they worked out this offseason, and so that'll be an interesting matchup.
So we'll be back with you tomorrow. I'm sure by tomorrow the 49ers will have everything all sorted out, right? They'll have explanations.
In a couple weeks we'll find out about that.
We'll have the latest if there's anything new, of course, on De'Aaron Fox. Fingers crossed. It's just going to be a matter of weeks here, and we'll get you we'll get ready for Wednesday night's game, and we'll be looking at tonight's Monday night contest as well with the Raiders getting ready to take on the Lions.
Yeah, big game for the Lions, right? They need to bounce back and get it together, and Jimmy Garoppolo was warming up, so I believe he's starting, so we'll react to that. And I'm looking forward to Wednesday's game, man. I want to come in tomorrow, and I'm going to have the blueprint on how you beat the Golden State Warriors.
Excellent.
Because they need to get this win on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You got to beat the Warriors sometimes,
Warriors playing
right?
The Pelicans tonight, so I'll scout them.
Yes. You'll scout them. All right.
Thanks for being with us. We've got the Lions and the Raiders for you. Monday Night Football next right here on Sacktown Sports.